I'm Dilip Panthi. I'm the tomato breeder in the horticulture department at North Carolina State University. Also, I am the chair of biotechnology previously working group and currently we call professional interest group. Last year, we decided to have this workshop related to like genome editing, functional analysis, etc. either in a joint collaboration like vegetable breeding group or vegetable breeding working group or fruits, tree, etc. And James and this group, who is going to talk today, decided to put all this talk, submit the proposal for this workshop, and all five very interesting talk they are going to present today. I think it covers very interesting topic ranging from functional analysis and also genome editing. The first presenter of today's talk is James from University of Georgia, and it will be about 20 minutes talk.
Well, thanks, Dilip. Thanks to the biotech interest group. And also I want to make a shout to the ornamental plant breeding working group. We submitted a proposal that was going to be joint between those two working groups, and that involved two sessions, and they told us, put it down to one session. And so Dilip stepped up and took it on through plant biotech. So I'm going to talk about a genome project we've got going, initiated a couple of years ago. It's really the Cornelis Genome Project. Our reference genome for this project is dogwood. It's an NSF-funded project, and I'm listing the co-PIs on this project here. I, of course, want to thank each of them, and I've got other folks I'll be thanking for their contributions through the presentation. So I'm new to, this is the first time I've come to these meetings, and I'm new to woody ornamentals. I'm a huge admirer, and I've got plenty of them in my yard, but working on them, this project is really new for me. I'm coming into this with naive, kind of new eyes, and seeing some of the challenges that folks working with woody ornamentals have to deal with, and woody horticultural species more generally have to deal with. And it, you know, as I started thinking about this, talking with the other folks on this project about this, it really was clear that generating a reference genome for dogwood could be very helpful for efforts to improve dogwood. And this same sort of principle, I think, applies to any horticultural species and particularly woody ornamentals. So yeah, for woody ornamentals, their long life is a real problem for improvement. On the plus side, they will produce lots of offspring, lots of seeds, and plenty of diversity from which to select. And I think that this is an area where having genomic type of data can really help inform that selection process. I think another thing that folks working in woody ornaments have to worry about is resistance, disease resistance, and I'm not sure. As a naive person working outside of woody ornamentals, it concerns me that coming up with durable disease resistance is going to be tough as the life cycle of the pathogens and pests is much shorter than the life cycle of these long-lived woody ornamentals. Of course, there's space issues. So you want the program has got to be efficient in order to you know, be able to deal with the space requirements for individual samples. So, there have been limited genomic resources, and this project is an attempt to fill that in for dogwood anyway. High heterozygosity is a problem, can be a problem for genome, you know, building a reference genome, for instance. But actually, you know, going back to my, this first point, it's a benefit, can be a benefit for you know, making selections. If there's a lot of diversity in your population, you know, that diversity can be very helpful in making selections. So how do we kind of frame a genome project that's going to help efforts to improve dogwood and actually perhaps other you know, members of the Cornales and more generally ornamental species across the green tree of life. This top quote is one that I often show in my talks that, it may be heard, nothing in biology makes sense except for in the light of evolution. I'm an evolutionary biologist, so that assertion makes sense to me. But actually, I'm also really, I'm a true believer in this. I'm going to try to help, kind of make that argument that an evolutionary perspective can certainly be helpful for any type of improvement or breeding system. My research has gone towards phylogenomics, and so taking it, looking at the evolution of genomes. And phylogenomics has got two meanings, I think it sees as two sides of a coin, and I play both sides of that coin. On the one hand, you use genome scale data to understand phylogenetic relationships among species or understand population structure within species. And then with that as a context, you can use this approach to analyze whole genomes or large, all the coding portions of genomes or within the context of that, of that phylogeny. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about how we've been doing this in this and other projects. Some of you might be familiar with PhytoZoom. So PhytoZoom is a clearinghouse for genomic resources. A lot of the data right now, there's 77 assembled and annotated genomes in PhytoZoom. This is a JGI effort, a Department of Energy JGI effort. There's 77 genomes. Most of them are genomes that have been generated by the joint JGI, but there are a lot of genomes that are in strategic places that have been generated by others and added to the database. So the database, they pull these genomes, put them in a single framework, and you can go in and look up a particular pathway or a gene family and do comparative analyses across any part of this tree of life that you choose, which makes most sense to you given your interests. One thing that has recently been informed that we put a proposal in to greatly expand PhytoZoom to add species where the sampling was really poor previously. This is a tree that is showing the PhytoZoom species that are in black. In red are JGI's flagship species. And in blue are these species that we're adding as part of this project. You can see that they fill in real gaps that had been in the PhytoZoom database that allow us to do comparative analysis, for instance, between non-grass monocots and eudicots, for instance. I have up here dogwood is starred, blueberry right next to it. These are two genomes that are on the way being we're generating the dogwood genome, but others are working on blueberry, and so they will be adding a really strategic point to the data that are already in PhytoZoom, allowing us to understand what are the characteristics of the last common ancestor of all the Asterids, for example. So here's the group that this project is focused on, the Cornelis. And so this is an order that includes dogwoods within the Cornaceae, Cornus. And our reference genome for that is Cornus florida. We're also generating resequencing data for Cusa, Cornus cusa, and for Elangium, and then also hydrangea. Hydrangea is posing some challenges. It's highly heterozygous, the macrophylla genome that we've been playing with, but we are generating data that's certainly going to be useful for marker development, and actually a lot of transcriptome data as well, to understand what the coding gene sequences within hydrangea. So here's the phylogenomics workflow. You start off with your plants, you extract, these days we want really high molecular weight DNA in order to be able to enable long read sequencing like PacBio, or more recently Oxford Nanopore sequencing. So we QC and do a lot of troubleshooting to get the highest molecular weight DNA that we can. Then sequence using, like I said, PacBio is a technology that we've used for the dogwood genome sequencing project. Also some Illumina sequencing, certainly for transcriptomes, but also for to help correct errors that might be in the PacBio data. We've got to assemble that and annotate the genomes that are the data that's coming off of the sequencer. And then once we have our assembled and annotated genome, we want to organize those, certainly the coding sequences, into gene families so that we can put those data into larger gene family phylogenies and understand something about the gene duplication and molecular evolutionary processes. So I've been doing this, on a number of other species. Asparagus is one of them. And with asparagus, what we used, in addition to relying on our just sequence assembly of PacBio data, we relied on, we did some genetic mapping, actually using a double haploid panel, and then optical mapping. This is using bio-nano data to put together a chromosomal assembly. With this project, we're turning to a newer technology, to pull our PacBio assembly into chromosomal super scaffolds, and that is chromatin library sequencing and assembly. And so there are two companies that are doing this right now, Phase Genomics and Dovetail. They're both doing the same thing, start off with making Hi-C libraries. These libraries, they take chromatin, supercoiled DNA, nick it, the pieces that are close together, I keep on doing that, will then be ligated with each other, back to each other, so they're going to be in close proximity in the chromatin, but not necessarily in the linearized DNA. You make pair libraries from that after doing the ligation. Take those mate pairs and use them to scaffold your larger genome assembly. And in the end, take those scaffolds and super scaffold them, cluster them into chromosomal assemblies. And this has been successful in the dogwood project. So okay, here we've got. Again, these are the representing the mate pairs for that sequences that are matching little pieces of our contig sequences. We then take these are representing each of the contigs that we have from our just PacBio genome assembly. We can use these pairings to then put together pull all these contigs together into a chromosomal assembly. And so, in our case, we have contigs, maybe 1,000 to 2,000 contigs for each chromosome. They're all then clustered together to give us a chromosomal assembly, super scaffold. This technology is so that it works as well as it does was a real surprise to me. You know, when I first saw folks advertising this technology, I was like, oh, that's just too good to be true. So we, in another project I was working on, sequencing Amberella, which is Amberella trichophyta, is sister to all of the flowering plant species. It's really strategically placed in the flowering plant tree of life. It's a native, it's endemic to New Caledonia, which is, you probably can't see very well right here, but just off of Australia. Here's Hawaii over here. It's an understory shrub species. We had a very nice assembly for that based on genetic mapping. And John Bowers at UGA made the genetic map-based super scaffold assembly, and then compared that to a Hi-C based assembly that we also generated independently for Ambrel. And we saw that for 12 out of 13 chromosomes, we had very good correspondence. With one of them, you see there are large blocks that are very similar, but their ordering is a little bit different, and we still are kind of investigating what's going on with that one. So with dogwood, we don't have a genetic map assembly at this base assembly at this point. We just have the Hi-C base assembly, but that Hi-C base assembly is pulling together our PAC bioassembly, a 40x PAC bioassembly that actually pulled together about 52% of the genome. The gene-rich portion of the genome probably didn't do a very good job of assembling the repeat-rich part of the genome. But then that came together with the phage genomics scaffolding, the first step done by phage genomics, into 325 kb scaffolds. We then filled in those scaffolds, the PacBio reads to fill in the gaps in those scaffolds, and then reassembled to get a 1.35 gigs of sequence into our assembly. So that's about 85% of the genome is now in our assembly. And it was these repeat sequences that was responsible for such a low percentage back here. And again, that's been super scaffolded then into 11 pieces representing the 11 chromosomes. We have, we're working now on developing the genome browser and BLAST portal for this, and look for this to come out certainly by the end of the year. If you want early access for some reason to the assembly, let me know. We're working on the annotation, just buyer beware at this point. It's when we have the annotation, we'll be able to do a little bit better job of really verifying that, that the assembly is as good as it can be. Okay, I'm running out of time here. I just wanted to give a couple applications. We've got something that Jenny has done, maybe she'll talk about this, is used sequence data to identify an ancient genome duplication event that occurred in the last common ancestor, according to her analysis of all dogwoods. And we see that if we compare the dogwood assemblies to grape, we see that there's two collinear segments for every one segment of grape, again suggesting that in the dogwood lineage there's been one genome duplication, presumably where Jenny placed it back in the last common ancestor for flowering plants. Of course, now we want to go and do some analysis of transcriptome data, genome-enabled transcriptome data, to look at interesting characteristics. Particularly, we're really focusing on powdery mildew susceptibility and resistance. Tim did inoculations of powdery mildew at a number of accessions. Amanda Lawrence at Mississippi State did some wonderful microscopy. We see here that the mildew spores and after sporulation hyphae, and now in working their way into leaves. And we see that across a number of cultivars of dogwood, we see varying degrees of symptoms. So Appalachian Snow, Cherokee Brave, Appalachian Blush, not so much. Red Pygmy, Little Princess, Appalachian Spring, a fair amount of symptoms, particularly after 20 or more days after inoculation. So we're now on transcriptome sequencing is now underway with this, and I'll stay tuned. We'll I'll report back next year on where what this tells us about the genetic basis for resistance or susceptibility to mildew. So mahalo, and I'm not sure if I have any time for questions. Or it's not in our current set, but that we have talked about that. We're going to be doing resequencing of CUSA and mapping those back onto the assembly we have for